Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hello, Kool-Aids. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here in the Spanish capital. In today's episode, we're going to talk about, obviously, the Rubiales situation here in Spain, the comeback win at Villarreal yesterday, and obviously the transfer window closing. But before we get into today's show, just wanted to highlight our Patreon community. If you are a Kool-Aid without a Peña, consider joining our virtual Peña. We have a diverse and international WhatsApp group. Obviously, during the matches, it's quite heavy and a lot of fun. We have Kim, who shares the morning papers every morning, and it's just really a lot of fun. So, you know, if you are a person without a Peña, definitely consider joining our virtual Peña. It's only $5 a month. And this weekend, we're going to be hosting our first virtual watch party. So that's another benefit as well. The link is in the show notes. Before we get into all the topics, a quick message from our sponsor, NordVPN. Are you tired of hackers and cyber criminals snooping around your online activities? Do you want to safely access your favorite shows and content from anywhere in the world? Then you need NordVPN, the best VPN on the market. And the good news is that there's an exclusive birthday deal just for you. Buy NordVPN now and win extra subscription time. With NordVPN, you can protect your online activity and keep your private information away from prying eyes. And if you're traveling abroad, don't worry. Connect to a NordVPN server in your home country and safely enjoy content as if you never left. So what are you waiting for? Visit nordvpn.com/barca now to get this special birthday deal. Shield your data from snoops and criminals with NordVPN's state-of-the-art encryption. Safely listen to podcasts, stream shows, or simply browse in complete privacy. Again, visit nordvpn.com/barca. The link is in the show notes. Get NordVPN now and enjoy a safe and private online experience.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, as I mentioned at the top, we have quite a lot to get into today's episode. And joining me today is Craig McGough. Craig, how are we doing?
Really good, thank you. Really good. It's not raining today, which you wouldn't expect me to say that during summer. But for anyone in our WhatsApp group, they'll know the struggles I've been having. But yeah, life's good. Life's good. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. Just finishing up the summer here. I have 3 weeks to my real vacation, so I'm just counting down towards that. But the good thing, you know, I hate to start with the weather, but it finally is cracking weather here just in time for you to have a nice visit. And yeah, it's going to be like today was 24. So you can't get better. I mean, 24
that's,
and sunny.
It's not bad, yeah, is it?
Yeah, that's perfect. All right, well, we have a lot to get into, as I said. The first thing we have to get into is the Rubiales situation, just because it is the biggest news in football, especially here in Spain. As I put in our WhatsApp group, it's dominating everything of all media here in Spain. And obviously, it's a major issue, obviously, of consent, kissing, power, all the things. And, you know, the news just keeps getting crazier every day. So just a quick recap, obviously, if you've been living under a stone, just a quick recap. Obviously, the women win, the Spanish women win the World Cup on Sunday. And Jenny Hermoso goes to get her medal, and she is kissed by the Federation President, Luis Rubiales, without consent. And it was done on national television, and it just started a firestorm with that. During the week, Hermoso comes out and said it was without her consent, and that just started the firestorm where the rumor was that Rubiales was going to resign last Friday. He then has his press conference, the most, I don't know, unhinged, insane, narcissistic, machista press conference I've ever seen in my life. Does not resign. Then FIFA then suspends his duties. He still refuses to resign. Now, as of today, Craig, obviously this a lot of has happened today. The Spanish Football Federation has asked UEFA to suspend the federation, which would include every Spanish team from UEFA competitions. UEFA rejected that. And on top of that, Rubiales' mom basically locked herself in a church in Granada and is on a hunger strike. That is all what is happening in the last 7 days here in Spain. And obviously, Craig, as we've been sharing news and talking about, it's just everything. I mean, I know it's, you know, obviously football started this, but again, where we are in 2023, I really hope my goal with all this is to really have some sort of solution that benefits the whole federation and obviously the women at most. Because now when you're looking back, the letter that was written and the way they did it in privacy and the way it was expelled by the federation, it is amazing to me that the women were able to persevere through this and win the World Cup.
It's almost tricky knowing where to start with it, really, isn't it? And I guess one of the most frustrating parts of it for me is how predictable this is, despite the fact that it's almost unprecedented. Like, it's just really hard to sit on the sidelines as some, like, you know, as a man who feels like they're not a complete and utter arsehole, and yet watch these men in power just ride roughshod over the thing that you love the most. And it's just really sad that in the midst of what should be the greatest moment of their lives, they're having to go yet through another struggle. Like, and it's just yet another block in the path of the lives of women in every single circle of life. Like, the glass ceilings that are put in just time and time and time again by these men that have just got such massive issues about their own masculinity and their own worth. And I just find it sad. And that's an incredibly light word to use, because I just don't have the vocabulary to express just how tiring it is. And yet the minute I say that, I catch myself thinking, right, you're a man, Craig. Imagine how tiring it is being a woman in this walk of life. And it's like, it's not even, and it's the argument time and time again, like, it's not about supremacy. It's about equality. You would not see this in male sport. It wouldn't be allowed to happen. And I just don't know where it ends. And I think one of the things that was interesting that you missed off the little list there, mate, sorry, I don't know if you've seen it, it's just happened there, is that the Spanish prosecutors are basically saying that they're going to look at this as sexual assault, because that's what it is. Like, it is absolutely unequivocally sexual assault. And I don't know what the end game is, right? Because my gut feeling is that Rubiales goes because he will go, and just some other idiot is going to take his place. And I don't understand how oppressed people, I'm in a fortunate position where I've never been in this position. I don't understand how oppressed people continue the fight, because it's tiring watching it. And again, I'm conscious that statement might be really offensive to people, but where do you pluck up the courage to continue going when it seems like the entire machinations of what's against you is unwilling and unable to change? And it's grim. It's just grim.
Yeah. No, I agree with those sentiments, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, again, you know, I've just been watching the media and the people who are on Rubio's side, you know, saying that it's not a big deal. It's just a little kiss and this. And it's like, that's the point. You know, if you went and did that to a stranger, how would they react? Right. That's how I kind of just look at that in that sense. Again, like you said, it's grim. I really hope that somehow it gets intervened and that they clean house, because this is not only with Rubiales, but this is also the men and the people that stand up and gave him a standing ovation in that unhinged speech that he had in agreement. Because again, why are they doing that? Because they know they are connected by money and power in the Spanish Federation. And that's, you know, we saw the same type of thing with FIFA, you know, with all the whole scandals and stuff with Blatter and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you hope that there's a renovation of new leadership. We see this with Infantini right now, and it's the same BS. You know, it just doesn't go away, right? Especially with his speech at the Women's World Cup, right? And it's like completely, you know, not understanding the climate and of course the event. You know, you know. Again, we have to talk about this because it's such a massive issue here in Spain, and it is hovering around not only with FC Barcelona's status. They need to do a little bit more because they are a powerful player in all this. I understand that they get money and there's something, you know, obviously political that they don't want to full on go full fire against Rubiales and the Spanish FA. But man, it's just really, like you said, sad, grim and all this stuff, because this past week should have been celebration of the women
100%
accomplishing this amazing feat in 6 years, you know, essentially going from start with terrible coaching, with terrible resources, you know, that's the thing.
It's just wild. And like, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's rumors coming out that like, that one of the reasons why they can't go after Rubiales is because he's got some dirt on some politicians. And you just think, at what level do you, like, what comes first? Like, what comes first? Do you become this horrendous type of person and then get the job, or does the job make you into that? And that's why when we talk about, like, you said that we need to clean house, and the sentiment couldn't be any more obvious, but do you trust any of them to do it? Like, no, do you genuinely believe? Like, I mean, if we look at the only thing I can think of where there's been a similar disparity about what reality needs to look like and what it does look like is probably racism in sport, which we're still miles away from conquering. Yeah. Like, we're miles away. Look at what happened to Vinicius Jr. Look at what happens on an almost weekly basis somewhere in world football. But it is undoubtedly better than it was. It is still miles away, but it's better. That was self-policed. I'd look at this issue and I just think the disparity of men to women in global football is so stark that I don't see it being self-policed. You know, yes, as fans, we have to make a stand, but fundamentally, there's only so much we can do. We can we can punish clubs, but can we truly punish a federation? Like, I don't know what you do, because apart from, I mean, if I just take Scotland, like, I think Scotland are going to play 6 internationals, 8 internationals this year. We've got 8 chances where we can make a statement about something. That's fine. But ultimately, as a club, you've got 38 chances to do that. And then you've got season tickets. You don't get season tickets for international games. So if I look at it at the kind of global machination level, how do fans bottom up manage FIFA and UEFA and then a federation? How do you do that? So it has to be self-policed. The media have to get involved. There has to be a solution to this. But I don't see it. Yeah. And that's really defeatist. But I don't see it. Like, I don't understand how we rid all of these horrible people from sport when they're also the same people that are in politics. They're also the same people that are in business. They're also the same people that are basically running every element of what we need to do, because they're all just in this big boys club of toxic masculinity. And I don't see it changing. And it's saddening, man.
Yeah. And just to tie this off, you know, I think one of the things when I was watching the speech live, I said, you know, I even tweeted this. I said, is he going Wolf of Wall Street with this? You know, and sure enough, he did, you know. And this idea that he kept saying that it's false feminism against him is just like,
oh my God.
It's just so blinded by what is actually happening, you know. And again, I don't know what the right answer is with cleaning house of the Federation. I just want him removed, because I just want to show that there's accountability for this actions, and you can't just hold your ground.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that there is, you know, not only is it the president, but also the territorial presidents that are also at fault because they're the ones that receive the money. That's why they gave the standing ovation, because they have to support, because if they don't, I'm sure Rubiales has threatened them saying, if you don't do this, I'm not going to give you any money, you know, and make it sure that doesn't happen and it has power. And really quick, just to answer your question, I think I think you do have this in you, and then it just becomes bigger as you gain more power. I think that's how it becomes, because if he was truly a president of vision, equality and stuff, like, you wouldn't care about the power and the money, man. You just care about growing the sport, and the money and the power comes with it. You know, like, do you need that much more money? Do you need that much more power? You know? And I know when you get in positions, obviously we've seen it in FIFA and different organizations, the more you get the power, you know, you keep going and you basically stomp
on people. There's got to change though, right? There's got to start being some level of accountability. Like, it's gone too long, and it's these people that use words like woke as if that's a negative, snowflake as if that somehow removes someone from the ability to be offended by this ridiculous behavior that people have got. Like, at what level is global football going to look at this and say it's gone too far? Because if it isn't now, when you've got stands being closed left, right and center for racism, when you've got the absolute shambles that we're seeing in women's football, we've got, you know, it's unprecedented levels of just crap noise in the modern era, because social media is now so prevalent that you see it a lot more. I don't understand what the tipping point will be. If it's not this, because of the publicity that it's getting globally, I don't understand what the tipping point will be in women's football. It's difficult without going around in circles, to be honest, because I'm
for sure
by the whole concept of it.
I think if I were to be a pure optimist, I would just say that, you know, with FC Barcelona, with the Femini, I think they have a lot of clout and a lot of power. They will continue to put more resources, and hopefully that gets shared, and then that elevates the rest of the league and the rest of this thing. So I look at it that way. I really need to see some sort of action.
Then,
say again?
Even then, like, that statement.
I know.
Come on, man. Like, that's not – we say it a lot, but we can't espouse to be mesquite and club and then put out this 5 out of 10 middle of the road. We can't do that. Like, I know what you're saying. Like, I regularly hold up Barca Femini as an example of what women's football could be in terms of coverage and scale. But then it's all, if you can't go out to bat when someone needs you rather than when it makes you look good, then I'm sorry, but you can't have your cake and eat it. Like, that statement could and should have been 100 times stronger than it was. Without it being difficult, without it being controversial.
But that's the thing, you know, we know that there is power, handshakes and money behind the scenes with all this. That's the issue. You know, that's unfortunately the issue. Anyway, let's get into yesterday's match. I really hope there's some resolution that comes sooner than later, because, it's been dominating the headlines here, and it's just been nuts. The twists and turns that happens every day. Be really quick. If you want more information on this, a great follow on Twitter is Semra Hunter, who is a presenter on La Liga TV. She's done an amazing job of really highlighting what is going on, sharing really pertinent information. So if you're more interested in this idea and want to help out or just read more about it, definitely have her follow and just read her tweets. All right, let's get into yesterday's road victory at the Estadio Ceramica on the east coast of Spain. Barcelona get the 4-3 victory. We were talking in the WhatsApp, and we were, you know, at points we're like, this is going to be a long match. Your boy Sergio Roberto had a long match as well on defense. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we need to start with the star of the player, and that's Marcos Alonso. I mean, just kidding. Lamine Yamal, obviously getting all the praise from, you know, for what he did yesterday. He played 75 minutes, just an outstanding performance for this 16-year-old who has electrified Kool-Aid on social media. And obviously, just with the movements that he's had, the conviction that he dribbles with, and the pace that he has, right? I mean, that's the other thing. So my question to you is, the first question I have is, has Rafinha lost his job there?
I hope not. And the reason I say that isn't anything to do with Lamine Yamal's talent, is the fact that if you look at every young player that we've got in the squad, they share two traits. One, they're very, very, very good. Two, they're very injury prone because we're just using them too much. So I think it would be folly to go and throw him in 90 minutes, 80 minutes every game. But I think if you're Rafinha, you look at it and say you've absolutely got competition. So do I think he should be an absolute stalwart for 90 minutes every game of the season? I really would not agree with that as a plan. But yeah, I mean, it's promising for everyone bar Rafinha, I would say.
Yeah, and I want him to be a sub and come in for 20 solid minutes. I think that is where it is most needed, especially if you're going to have Rafinha start. And I think it also preserves him to not, you know, to save maybe some potential injuries that way. He's getting 16. That's the thing. I still can't imagine being 16 playing at this stage and the confidence that he's been showing. Now, he did have a couple, you know, opportunities, or not opportunities, but Villarreal had really kind of found something with his defense a little bit, but that's, you know, it's totally understandable. He's 16. They really exploited that wing. But again, I just can't get over, Craig, the product we continue to produce at this level is just insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's yet another one, right? And the timing couldn't be better. I mean, you know, without bringing this down a level, like, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful, obviously. Like, we've had a few of these over the years who have been the next big thing for 6 weeks, and then we've slowly got, you know, bored of them. I mean, you look around the Liga, there's so many of them that were once the next best thing. I think what's different about Lamine from what we've seen so far is that there isn't a glaring weakness that you'd want him not to have. Like you mentioned there about him working backwards. I mean, the last person to occupy that position long term wasn't that much of a fan of defending either, and he did all right with his 7 Ballon d'Or or whatever he's got. And so I think, you know, if you look at his actual play with the ball, the way he creates space, the way he attacks defenders, just that directness, the unpredictability, the fact that he's willing to take a shot, we can also pick a pass. I just think he's got everything going for him, and it's us to break. You know, he's got all the raw materials to be otherworldly. He now needs managed, and he needs saved from himself a little bit. I think he needs to make sure that his place is a sensible one, and that we don't go too fast with this guy. And I know what you're saying about, you know, he should come on for 20 minutes. My gut feeling is that he should go the other way, which is that I would, where possible, allow him to start so that he can get a feel and dictate play. I think it's harder coming in, but I think the principle remains, which is that neither of us see him as 90 minutes every week. And I think that's the important part. How you use him, I think, is very different. The other thing I find interesting, what you've said there, and I don't know my opinion, it just came in my mind there, is it's interesting that we're talking about him or Rafinha when we don't have anyone obvious to play on the other wing. It's interesting that we almost seem to be conditioned now that we will not play two wingers. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I think the Gavi experiment is working because of Gavi, not because it's the right system. So I would be intrigued to see if we can get Rafinha and Jamal in at some point, because we look good when people are wide and attacking a defence. We just aren't able to do it on both sides of the pitch right now. So I think that's an interesting one for Xavi as well, which is, are you able to, and do you want to back both of these horses at the same time?
Yeah, I think we are conditioned now, you know, obviously, since we don't have a pivotal winger over there, that we just kind of accept that it's just flooding the midfield and Gavi part-time flooding that area. I mean, we saw him score a goal from a Lamine Yamal assist, you know? And so again, I think one of the things that really excites me is I'm always looking for someone, especially a winger, taking shots right on the edge of the box to create that chaos, right? Because that's, you know, your main job as a forward is to score goals, you know? And I like that he's hungry already to make that happen. I mean, he hit the post, what, two or three times yesterday? Yeah. One of them with the post, it led to the Lewandowski goal. And that's the kind of chaos that you need to happen on the edge of the box, because now when he's going to be on film, defenders can't just lay off him. And then maybe he does one more move and then can cross. So again, it's, you know, finding those moments. But again, he is electrifying. And again, I just think with his youth, I think there's just more value bringing him in the last 15 minutes, because then he's not expected to. Maybe I take that back. I take your point.
Yeah. I think it does protect him from, it protects him from having to be rigid in a system, from being known as a starter. Like, it allows him to come in and try and make something happen. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I get exactly what you're saying. I think there's merit to it. But at the same time, I also think the ability to kind of build it into a game, I think, is priceless. I think there is a role for that superstar. I mean, you look at Darwin Nunez in the Premier League yesterday. I would never start him. Yet he comes on, and I think a lot of time, because he doesn't know what he's doing, defenders don't know what he's doing, and they're tired and there's fatigue there. So I think there's definitely an element of that happening. I think Xavi's going to have to pick and choose his matches. Like, I look forward to Villarreal away every season because it's just fun. And I said it in our WhatsApp group yesterday. I didn't really care whether we won or lost that game yesterday. I don't normally care if we win or lose. I just want to be entertained. Like, I'm not playing. It's not my win bonus. I've long been able to forget about whether we win or lose. I want to watch us play good football, enjoy myself, feel like we're trying to do the right things. So irrespective of how yesterday went, I wouldn't have been that bothered. But what was really nice to see yesterday was two teams that were trying to play football. They weren't trying to kick each other off the park. Sure. So if you're Chad and you look at Lamine Yamal and you think, okay, that's a game for him. When we're going away to these grounds up north in winter and we're off to Osasuna and we're off to Getafe, when Getafe come again, I think you look at it and say, do we want to give him that start? And it's to protect him. I don't think it's about fear. It's about managing risk. And so I think you can pick and choose. And if the game doesn't need to risk him, I think we need to be comfortable not playing him as well to an extent. And he has to accept that. There'll be times for him to come on and for him not to play.
He has to accept the role that he may not play all the time, but he has to take the training, right? Those practice sessions, the film sessions, those are the things that he needs to learn from the professionals, right? Like Lewandowski, the veterans, to see how they act, to hopefully translate to better success behind the scenes, right? Because, you know, as we see, you know, from what we're seeing already, we're excited because of the potential he has. Again, I would say also just the no fear aspect that he has as well, just being young, you know? Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this yesterday, watching the matches. It's like, I mean, you're telling me who doesn't dream, right? Or had dreamt 16 walking onto Barcelona and making an impact. I mean, Jesus, right? Like this is like the boyhood dream of any footballer, and he's making it happen at 16. And to your point, like you said, something to, you know, playing those 70 minutes and learning how to play into that. I mean, he's got next year to do that, or the year after that. You know, 100%. I mean, that's the thing. So again, we'll be very curious to see how Xavi manages this, because, you know, people are very excited, obviously, because, you know, when you watch the match and him in the match, it's exciting. It's attacking. Mm-hmm. We're actually looking like we're hungry for goal. And there's definitely been quite a difference, you know, whoever else is playing on that header. All right, let's go on to the defense, because I think when we saw the lineup with Sergio Roberto, Marcos Alonso on the outside, you know, there was a lot of talk about this lineup and why Xavi went with this, obviously with Araujo injured, giving Balde a rest essentially. But man, I don't think he should ever have this lineup in this, because I think there's just not enough speed on the sides. We saw Sergio Roberto a couple times just on a swivel, you know. And again, he's just better as a midfield. You know, he's not good as a last man. And Marcos Alonso got cooked a couple times just on speed alone. What did you think about the defensive setup yesterday? And obviously, we're going to talk about the signing of João Cancelo, so that's probably going to help out a lot. But, you know, what do you think about the defensive pairing yesterday? We're kind of just, you know, with the start of the season, you know, we're right there at the table. We've had up and down performances, I would say, but the lineup to me was a weird decision with Alonso and Roberto starting. That's it.
I mean, for me, the things that jump out is I actually didn't think Alonso played that badly, to be fair. I think he got a lot of unnecessary stick because as a defence, we looked slow. I think in isolation, his performance was okay. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't great, but he was, you know, 6.5 out of 10. I think he's passable. He's also got, I think his reputation's worse than he is. Like, Marco Alonso is he's a decent player. Anyway, so yeah, I think that one is like if Alonso moves on, he goes to a team that's playing decent level European football, and I think that says a lot. He'll go to a decent club. He's not going to go and play for Betis. He's not going to go and play anyway. It was by the by. I thought Alonso was okay. Is he who I want to start? Obviously not, because we've got Balde, but he is what he is. I thought he was okay. Sergio Roberto, however, is the main talking point, right? And obviously my caricature about how I love Sergio Roberto is like, it is what it is. But my thinking about Sergio Roberto is he was exactly what he is, which is he is a centre midfielder, an ageing centre midfielder, being asked to play at right back against one of the most attacking teams in the league. Like, what do you reasonably expect from him? So I don't think the debate is Sergio Roberto's done, Sergio Roberto's washed, Sergio Roberto's terrible. No, like let's actually look at the factors that got that player there. Like, Sergio Roberto was stuck in at right back so many times to try and cover for the fact that we've never replaced Dani Alves. Like, we knew we knew that unless Koundé or Araujo could play there, we had no right back. Why are we still pursuing João Cancelo, who is, for all intents and purposes, a free agent, effectively? City don't want him. They're willing to let him go with reasonable levels of ease, from what we can gather, with the fact that the rumour is that it's a loan with no real fee and no option, no mandatory option. Why are we three games in with no right back? So I think the narrative absolutely is entitled to be Sergio Roberto did not have a good game. Absolutely. Like, you'd have to be an idiot not to think that. But why is there no complicity on the board for still having to play an aging centre midfielder at right back? Why? Like, we needed Sergio Roberto more than we needed Gundogan. We needed Sergio Roberto more than we needed Inigo Martinez. Sorry, we needed a replacement for right back. Sorry. More than we needed Inigo Martinez or Gundogan. Arguably not Oriol Romeu, but that was my big take, which is, what did you expect? Did he perform worse than you would expect him to perform? Is the question I would ask back.
Oh, no, but that's also kind of my point too, is, you know, knowing that you're playing at the Ceramica, which is a, you know, smaller field, quicker field, this type of thing, the setup, right? And understanding what is going to happen before, and then putting Sergio Roberto in kind of a role where he's going to not succeed, right? And that's where I'm, yes, of course, we can say, yes, the board need to get a right back. They're still, I mean, we did that today, but I'm just saying, like, you know, these type of moments where, you know, I put in the WhatsApp group that Kike Setien, you know, exploited that right, that left side all match long, you know, and to me, how does Xavi not look at these things? And I know it's a La Liga match day three, like, we shouldn't overreact to all this because it's such a long season. But again, these are just like these little mini moments where it frustrates me, because we have enough good players to cover that up. You know, our midfield played really well yesterday without Pedri. You know, I would say Gavi, Gundogan. I mean, Gundogan has not surprised me, but I definitely, man, he is a nice backup to have to Pedri. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Pedri's not there, it's like, you know, it's definitely a nice signing to have there. Again, I'm just looking to maximize as much as possible.
Yeah.
And again, you know, with Sergio Roberto, I just don't think that happens. And, you know, I don't know what that is, like, what that lineup looks like to make that better, you know, but poor Sergio Roberto, because, you know, like we said, like, he gets the call to start. Sure, I'm sure he's excited, but man, we all know he's not an exceptional right back. A couple of times, you know, just getting caught on a swivel back, give and go type of things. And again, I just, you know, these are the little moments that lead up to tactical decision making.
Absolutely. Forward, and, you know, 100%. And, like, again, it's not about me defending Sergio Roberto overly. Like, he had a bad game, but imagine what would happen if we put Gavi there.
Gavi is fundamentally
a centre midfielder as well. And I just think the angle I saw yesterday about it, in my opinion, was just skewed, which is it seemed to be 90% on Sergio Roberto and 10% on the system. Like, if it was me, I'd look at it and I think, right, okay, I understand he's not happy to play there, but I'd have put Koundé at right back, probably put Eric at centre half, and had at least a defence of players that could play that position. Alonso was fine. Alonso would have been okay at left back.
Sure. And what about this is, like, maybe not being so high, you know, on the line? Like, I think that adjustment right there is the difference between Sergio Roberto getting caught off 30 yards and 10 yards. You know, when you have everything in front of you, right? Obviously, this idea of the high line is risk and reward. I get that. We're pressing and all that stuff. But at the same time, when you know it's going to be a match at the Ceramica, like, there's a back and forth match, I just feel you don't have to be as aggressive with the line, because the amount of times that you're going to have the counter, I think you just be more sound on defense, you know? Yeah. That to me is like an adjustment that you can definitely do. You don't have to be as aggressive on the high line. I mean, we don't have the speed, so why would you do that, you know? Just to take a quick analogy on NFL, it's like, if you don't have the wide receivers to do a run and gun, you have to adjust, right? You have to go maybe to more running type of offense just for that match, you know, because maybe you have injuries. And adjusting that high line, I think, is a very simple fix. You tell your players, we're not going to play as high. Okay, great. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to see everything in front, and I'll be okay, you know, instead of having stuff go in front. So I think those are just go on.
So honestly, I think it's one that Xavi would probably want back, in fairness. And I think hindsight's always 20/20, but sure, I think in hindsight, he probably wants it back. I think it's probably, there's a couple of things that come off the back of it. Number one, I think it's hopefully one of the last times we see Sergio Roberto play there, because it sounds like, to your point, it sounds like we're fixing the problem with Cancelo, but it also sounds like his plane that was coming to cancel. So we'll see what happens with that. Classic theater Barcelona. So we'll see what happens. But it sounds like that's fixed between Cancelo, assuming he comes in, sure, and Araujo and Koundé. Yes, we've got two unwilling right backs, but we've got an out and out right back. So hopefully it's the last time we see that. I also think the injuries that we've got and rest in players means that hopefully that doesn't happen again anyway. So hopefully it's the last time we see it. We got away with it. We move on. But I just think it was a bit of a perfect storm of players that don't really have pace. Sorry, a player that doesn't have pace playing there against a team that want to exploit it, with a manager that, although he failed at us a little bit, is technically astute. And it didn't take a lot for him to target it. I mean, it was Xavi called it out. You know, they saw it, they exploited it, they went for it. So it's a bit of a perfect storm, really. But fundamentally, I just think there's talk that we're going to try and sign another midfielder today. You know, Laporta said 1-1. Yeah. We'll come on to that in a little bit. There's talk of another midfielder. It to me, there's just the right. If you contrast exactly that, which is we need to sort a right back out. We've just seen why we need to sort a right back out, and yet Laporta is still chasing these show ponies. Like, come on, man, fix the problems. We knew it was coming. Why are we now? To me, the massive priority in the summer had to be a right back. And yet the last position we're in theory going to sign is a right back. We need a 10, fair enough, but we can ride that.
Yeah, of course.
So that's my biggest frustration, which is I understand that most right backs don't sell shirts, but they also win you games.
Correct. They win you more games. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But again, I would say, as you pointed out in our WhatsApp group, you know, it was a fun match to watch. It's going back and forth, left and right, which was awesome.
Great, yeah.
Again, we are being entertained. I think that's always going to be the key. And I would say this is the first match in a long time where I was happy with our counterattacking chances, the chances that we were going forward with, and obviously just the goal output. You know, it's, I think it's the first time in many, many, many games where we hit the 4-goal mark. You know, even though we didn't win 4-0, we came back, we saw some grit, and obviously Lewandowski got off the schneid on there. So again, and Ferran scored as well. Ferran scored that nice finish. So again, all around, I would say trending in the right direction, especially with Real Madrid. Word just came out today that Vinicius is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. He actually tore his muscle. So it looks like it's going to be more on the 6-week side. And I think this is the chance where Barcelona could get some points, because as we talked about in our preview show of La Liga, you know, my crazy outtake, did you ever see Bellingham being the leading scorer?
Crazy. I mean, I don't often watch Madrid games, if I'm honest, but I've watched a lot this season just because I'm intrigued to see what they do, just because I think it could crumble at any minute. But my God, what a player he is. Like, he is incredible. And I just think the thing that we've got to remember is that, yes, they've got Bellingham, who's incredible, but we've got a few of those that should be able to do that. We need to protect them. We need to exploit them. We need to maximize that. And the only way that we get that true level from those players is we start plugging the gaps. You know what I mean? We need a right back. We probably need a better backup keeper. So I think we need to make sure that we understand that we've got these diamonds, but we also need to make sure that we're building a decent squad around them. Because I think if you look at Madrid, if Bellingham gets injured tomorrow, God, I don't want it to happen. Like, I don't want Vinicius to get injured. I don't want that. But if Bellingham all of a sudden pulls up in training tomorrow, Jesus, they look worse than they do now by a distance. We can mitigate that if we just get a few sensible signings.
That's the thing. And I think this is the chance. We're right there. We can definitely take advantage of the situation, you know, obviously being in the beginning of the month. And now let's just go to the transfer window. We have a couple of days before close. We're recording this on Monday evening. Like we just talked about, João Cancelo is pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. I mean, Fabrizio has mentioned, here we go. So that usually means that's happening. He did have 154 appearances for Man City, 15 for Bayern last season. And, you know, as you said, when was the last time we had a right back like this? A solid right back, physical, knows how to pass, understands the system, because he obviously played in Pep's system. So it shouldn't be a major transition to Barca style. But again, I think this obviously solidifies the back line in a way that our defense now is one of the top in Europe.
I'm 100%. I mean, my only concern with him is something that I have no reason to really worry about, because I'm not in that locker room, which is, I've just used the word locker room. Your Americanisms are getting to me. But you know, I'm not in that dressing room, which is, he went from being probably probably the best fullback in Europe for a period, I would say. Yeah. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No.
All of a sudden, he'd be completely frozen out, and then two clubs have decided they don't want him. That raises big alarm bells for me, which is, what is he doing? How is he acting? What is going on off the pitch? Because fundamentally, he's a phenomenal player. What's happening? So that's the only unknown for me, which is, are we getting a bad egg?
Well, I mean, the good thing is he's on loan. So we get to kick the tires on this player, right? So it's not a complete commitment that he's going to be here for the long term. We do have the option to buy, obviously. But again, that is, you know, one of the things I always look at is, okay, when Pep freezes you out, what did you do? Because there has to have been something, right? And obviously, mm-hmm. I was looking before. There's a rumor that there was a dust up at the training ground after the World Cup, and that happened. But, you know, to me, I think there has to be more to it than just one dust up, right? There may be something with the attitude. But again, I think the other thing, too, as you just pointed out, is that Bayern passed on him after half a season, though he made 15 appearances. And so, you know, I want to be optimistic on this and say that hopefully there's a fresh start for him. He knows he's going to be the outright starter. He's coming to Barcelona, which is always, you know, big club, big dreams. And I think he solves so many of our issues. I mean, now we don't have to think about that. You know, you just like him and Balde, Koundé, Christensen, Araujo in the middle. Like, that to me is lovely. And then anything in front. And now we can play any type of line. we can play any type of line.
Well, that's it. I mean, look at the midfield that you've got in front of that as well, which is...
Yeah.
So you've got Ter Stegen, who's one of the best in Europe. Incredible form. I didn't think he'd be able to replicate his form from last season, but he's started really well. Look at, you know, you've got options in that defensive line. Absolutely. You look at the midfield that we can put out. Incredible. Lewandowski will come good. I'm fairly sure of that. And then you've got Yamal, you've got Rafinha. And then I think we're probably... That's the one area. You look at that left hand side and you think, what do we do there? But, you know, if you look at the team that we're building on a relative shoestring,
and
with all the problems that we have, and I don't think it's unrealistic to start looking at the Champions. I know I completely rubbished it at the start of the season, but it's not unrealistic to say that team could do something. Considering where we could and should maybe be, that's a hell of a team to have put together on the circumstances that we'd built upon.
I think for the left side, that becomes Balde's side. And I think you're going to let Balde have more chances on the left side, knowing that you're going to have more solid on the right in the middle that could maybe cover that area when he gets caught up. I think maybe that is something that you look at because, you know, before, you know, you say, okay, Balde, take your chances, but be smart when you want to do it. Now, with being solid on the right and having two mobile center defenders, maybe you let Balde take even more chances to occupy that left side and have those defenses think about different things like that. But maybe that's something that evolves, you know?
I can see the logic. And I think also if you look at the way Romeo and Frankie de Jong are playing together, I mean, my God, Frankie de Jong yesterday was incredible. We can't do this episode and not. What a player. But if you look at how mobile that part of the pitch now is, the idea of us now covering for a marauding fullback isn't ridiculous. Yeah. Whereas... You know, let's see Sergio Roberto. I mean, actually, I Sergio Roberto as well. But let's see Sergio Busquets in a foot race with someone like we obviously couldn't do it. So I don't think that's without merit at all. I think you might see that, but it's exciting again, isn't it? I think it's actually quite.
You know why? Refreshing. I think it's exciting for me. It's because it's not top tier transfers that we brought. We had to be smart about how we lined this team up with the financial, you know, limitations that we've had. And I think to me, that is ultimately how you build a better team because you have to really think about the pieces. We are so lucky that we're able to plug and play these youngsters already, Balde, Pedri, Gavi, Araujo, Kun. I mean, like, think about the age of these kids, right?
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, that is helping our situation tremendously because in other teams that are going to play these youngsters, there's definitely a talent drop off, right? And we're not seeing that. Obviously, with the stability now with Frankie de Jong, Gundogan, now with Romeo, like that is really, really solid. And now it's just trying to figure out the chemistry because just to end up on this, Lewandowski, Ansu, I don't know what is going on there with that chemistry and Rafinha Lewandowski. Is it Lewandowski? I don't know. You think he's going to come good? I'm still a little bit worried about his form because again, though he scored yesterday, I don't know. Like it's just a weird thing that's happening with him. He's just not getting those chances like he used to. And when he does get those chances, I mean, yes, he did convert on the tap in yesterday, but again, there's just, I just never see him involved in the right way as you would want to be as a forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he's in the box and he doesn't get service. He's outside the box and it goes past him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always like the opposite of that.
Yeah, I agree. And I just don't see it lasting for 50 games. You know, that's my, you know, it's optimism. but you know, I just think he's too good not to be there or thereabouts by the end of the season. But yeah, I agree. His form's an interesting one. For example, I would have started Ferran yesterday.
So would I.
And I don't think, I don't think Lewandowski's goal necessarily changes my opinion on that. I think there's an element of me thinking, let's see what Ferran can do. But I think you know, Lewandowski will get service. I think he'll come good. I think we have the nicest area to have concerns about in that sense.
For sure.
I think we can find goals elsewhere. But I think Xavi now is playing with a full deck, pretty much, assuming Cancelo comes in. You know, I think a lot of the struggles where we were shoehorning players in hopefully have now gone. I think it's an exciting time, and we'll see what happens in the rest of the window. Laporta saying 1+1. I still hope it's not João Felix.
No, yeah. Yo tampoco. Like, I don't want that happening. You know? I was like,
it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Neither the player nor the club.
No.
Nor for Atleti, in all honesty, because what happens if he does come good and he goes and puts goals past them? So I hope it's not that. But at the same time, you know, the links, as we discussed in the WhatsApp group yesterday or today, whatever it was, is Lukaku doesn't fit our system at all.
No.
So I don't know who that plus one is, nor who it needs to be, if I'm being really honest.
Yeah, I just want to finish on this. I just want to make sure that it's not that I think Ferran is a better striker than Lewandowski. I just want to have it set across the line that, you know, it's a competitive team. You're going to be chased. If you are not informed, there's another person next person in line. Mm-hmm. I think that's just ultimately going to push this team. You know, Lewandowski 5 years ago, you pencil him in the whole time. But now, yeah. I'm sorry, like, I need goals and I need to try different things if you're not scoring. And I think maybe that helps a little bit. I don't know. That's just the way I always looked at, you know, especially a team of Barcelona's caliber. I think competition is healthy because that just keeps everyone enchufado with that. Anyway, we'll finish with that. We spoke a lot today, Craig. I don't know if you have any last thoughts on the weekend and so forth.
Just one little grenade to throw before go. Is that the last time we see Ansu Fati in a Barca shirt?
Ooh, I don't think so.
No, I have a feeling it goes. Yeah, I think so. I think he looked a pretty unhappy figure.
Disinterested.
Disinterested a little bit. I think his performance was grim. Personally, I think he's. I got some stick a little while ago for saying that Ansu Fati's finishing was dreadful, and I think if you look at his goal return, I don't think I'm wrong. And I just think yesterday, if you look at how wasteful he was with a few chances, admittedly he had.
Yeah.
If you look at the way his relationship seems to be with some of the squad, I don't know. I have a feeling that we see. I think the 1+1 is telling. I think Ansu Fati goes. I think that might be the last time we've seen him in a Barca shirt.
I mean, I hope not. Obviously, we talked in the preseason about our expectations and all stuff. But, you know, there's something, again, you know, I hope we don't go down the same road with Lamine, you know, in that it's a young prodigy coming through, has success early, you know, obviously gets injured, and then all of a sudden can't find the form and can't find his, you know, to me, I still feel like he's not playing the proper position because he still looks out of place. And again, you know how it is when you are doing a job that you are not interested and not fit for, you can't put the energy, you know, you just can't put the energy. Right. And it's not his fault in that it's just human nature, you know, but again, I really want him to see, because I think he could still help the club. And I mean, as we talked about in our preview show, I want to have final answers at the end of the season, but we'll see in a couple of days when the window closes. So we'll see about that. So, Craig, thanks for joining me as always. The next match is at home at Osasuna versus Osasuna, 9:00 local time. That's when we'll have our first Patreon watch party. So if you're interested in joining, become a Patreon where you can get the link. Until next time, Forza Barca.
Podcast Network.